This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, if you're looking for a job, we're going to give you and your outdated resume the once-over. And with budget cuts these days, teachers are spending their hard-earned bucks on classroom supplies. We're going to put a stop to that for at least one local school. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is on her way home from a weekend of watching race cars at Laguna Seca. She'll be back tomorrow. On the crime beat today, it's Jay Capadonia.
Disturbing news about Erin Corwin. I told you about her a few weeks ago. 19-year-old girl went missing from 29 Palms. Well, she's been found. It's not good.
And cabled up for optimum performance, Chris Martin is here.
Phil, our inside sources are telling us that Apple is going to be providing a solution to the most annoying part of a device we all use daily.
Aha! That's all coming up. Like to annoy from time to time. So let's get started. And thanks for tuning in. All right, this story out of 29 Palms, Jay, it comes with a discovery and an arrest, from what I understand.
Correct. So Erin Corwin, I told you a few weeks ago, remember her name because it's going to come up and you're probably going to hear it for the next couple of weeks. 19-year-old pregnant woman. She went missing in late June near Joshua Tree, which is way kind of out there in San Bernardino County. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere, a beautiful place to visit. But anyway, she was going out there to Joshua Tree because her mom was going to come visit and from Tennessee, and she just vanished. And then a lot of he said, she said started coming out. Well, she had an affair with the neighbor. The neighbor said, no, I didn't. And then now she's pregnant with maybe it's the neighbor, and all of this mishigas is going on. So
mishigas.
Yes, Michigas. Over the weekend, they found her body at the bottom of a 140-foot mine shaft near Joshua Tree.
Wow.
And the neighbor slash lover slash whatever friend has been arrested in Anchorage, Alaska. He was arrested late last night.
Was he on the run?
The story I have, it doesn't say, but possibly, possibly. He's been arrested on homicide charges. They think he killed her.
Oh.
Now, her car was found a couple of weeks after she went missing, but there was no sign of which way she went or where she could have or what could have happened to her. There was just nothing. It was just her car. And they questioned the neighbor, and then all of a sudden the neighbor disappears.
Mm-hmm.
Suspicious circumstances, possibly.
Yeah.
So all we know now is that she has been found.
Suspect or person of interest?
The body of her.
The guy in Alaska.
He's been charged or is going to be charged with homicide as far as I can read.
That's a suspect. Then.
That is definitely a suspect. Okay. So that's what we know now. The boyfriend, I believe it's her husband, hasn't come out and said anything. Her family hasn't said anything yet. But stay tuned. I'm guessing reporters are on their way because this just came out.
Odd to think about how they came to the conclusion that they needed to look down at what 125-foot mine shaft? 140-foot mine shaft. Yeah.
Something may have tipped them some way. Something happened. You know, all those details, I'm sure, we'll find out in the next day or two.
Yeah. Things are getting not better, but worse in Ferguson, aren't they?
Obama just came out and spoke about 20, 30 minutes ago on Ferguson. And the issue, if you have been living under a rock, basically police gunned down. They shot and killed an unarmed black teenager. And apparently they shot him six times. Two times in the head. I was reading some of the autopsy report, and evidently a couple of the shots hit him in the head, and then they exited through the guy's eye socket.
Ooh. So they shot him in the back of the head.
Something to that effect. But it doesn't really say here. It just says that it entered the head and then exited the eye socket and caused... brain damage and all that stuff. Well, Obama came out and he's like, look, we need peace. We need peace because over the past 5 or 6 days, it's been nothing but violence. And there was a curfew in place and they had to be off. People who lived in the town had to be off the streets by midnight. Well, that didn't happen. So tear gas had to be deployed and arrests were made and all of this stuff. Obama is now sending Eric Holder there on Wednesday.
What can he do?
He is going to basically take over the operations. He is going to be center. I know, right? What can he do?
But National Guard is there, though,
right? The National Guard is there. The curfew has been lifted. Hopefully that protesters will just fizzle out.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for that moment at midnight to have that big rush of adrenaline.
Mm-hmm.
They're hoping that maybe if they release the curfew and have the National Guard as containment, then things may calm down. But the mother of the teenager who was killed says, "We want the cop arrested.
Oh.
And then you will have peace in our town."
Well, seems like a simple step they could take.
Absolutely. But, you know, you can't arrest anybody without probable cause. And if there's so many different stories out there. There's cell phone video from after the teen had been gunned down, and you can hear somebody on the side kind of talking and saying that the teenager rushed the cop.
Mm-hmm.
The cop originally tried to stop the teen from walking in the middle of the street. "Hey, kids, get out of the street."
Yeah.
And the teen mouthed off to the cop.
Yeah.
And the cop went to go get out of his car. The teen shut the door and shoved him back in the car and then took off.
Yeah.
Cop gets out of his car, starts running. Teen turns around and starts running towards the cop. That's when shots were fired.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know that for a fact. I was not there, but this is like he said, she said, this witness said, this person
it's all anecdotal,
to the investigation,
right?
Wants to say.
Anecdotal.
Exactly. Exactly. So all we know now is Eric Holder will be there on Wednesday to take over operations of the National Guard.
All right.
One quick side note about this. A reporter down there trying to get the story, trying to be the first. We have another great story like this. Took a picture and he sent it out on Twitter. "I believe these are rubber bullets. Can anyone confirm?" Turned out to be earplugs.
Oh, great.
You know those bright orange earplugs that you stick in there?
Right.
Rubber bullets.
Well, congratulations. You've just earned your reporter wings.
Yes, I know, right? Exactly.
When he squeezed his fingers on them and they smushed together, you think he would have figured it out.
Yeah, those got to hurt when they come out. All right, so, man, a couple of serious stories. You got something to kind of loosen things up a little bit, Jake?
I do. A dinosaur has been found. A living dinosaur. Well, he's not living anymore, but an Alabama couple pulled a 15-foot half-ton alligator out of the Alabama River.
Wait a minute.
15-foot half-ton.
They pulled it out?
They pulled it. Well, they caught it.
They just reached in and
they
were noodling?
Yeah.
Like those guys that catch the catfish with their bare hands?
No, not like that at all. They're down in the swamp area down there. They trap alligators. They kill alligators. They hunt alligators. That's just what they do. Well, the couple got lucky because it is record-setting. It's actually 1,100 and a half pounds.
Wow.
It's basically like you and I were talking about
15 foot. That's like a free throw.
Exactly. From the free throw line to the baseline, that's how long this thing is.
15 feet.
You couldn't even fit it in the back of a pickup truck.
No, you couldn't.
You'd have to have like one of those red flags dangling off the tail as you drove down the highway.
Right, but a half ton, most pickup trucks can carry that kind of payload.
It'll carry it, but can you imagine that? Like watching the back of the pickup sink right down onto the tires?
Got to throw a skateboard on the tire back there, though, to make it work.
They shot it with a 20-gauge shotgun, and all it did was make it mad. And it continued to fight. They had to shoot it again. Finally,
it's armored.
Yes, exactly. Stop struggling. And I mean, the picture of this thing is it's enormous.
Yeah.
It literally is the size of a car.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Looks like something out of Jurassic Park.
Yeah. It's a living dinosaur.
All right. Well, in Alabama. How about that?
Yeah.
All right, Chris, you have something for us that it may actually create a simpler environment, a simpler world for us who are connected all the time to our devices. What is it?
Yeah, that's the hope. I have a couple of Apple devices. They're always only iPods, music devices. I don't have the phone. But Apple devices, the new ones, use lightning cables. The cool thing about lightning cables, you can plug them in any way you want. Once you get it to the hole, it's going to accept it and it's going to start
up,
charging.
Up, down, sideways?
Yes, exactly. You just have to line up the little rectangle. Now, Apple's fixing the other end. They're going to take the USB connection on the other end that would normally plug into your computer or the charger, and they're going to minimize the little white piece in there that holds the two receptors in.
Yeah.
And that's going to make it be able to be inserted into the receiver, upside down, right side up, doesn't matter. It'll work both ways.
Oh, I love that, because if you have a car that's been built in the last 4 or 5 years, it probably has a USB plug somewhere in there so that you can play things off the dash and also pull a charge off of the battery. Right? Oh, my car
it's
has
the
that.
Best.
But they're usually in places that you can't necessarily see like inside the center, the armrest.
Mine's in the bottom of the center console. I don't know why that is.
And so you have to kind of feel around for it, right?
Yeah.
All right, for me, it's a challenge. So I'm driving with my left hand. I got my right hand on this USB cable, and I'm trying to get it, you know, sight unseen, trying to work it in, trying to worry that thing in. Okay, it's upside down.
And you got
to
be delicate because they'll snap.
Yeah, flip it over, and it's still not going. And wait a minute, I had it right the other time. Flip it over again, and you keep trying. And sooner or later, you got to just pull over and stick your head inside that center armrest. And that doesn't work because that doesn't fit either.
Tell your passenger to hold the wheel.
Yeah, exactly. So they're going to make that so it just works. I take it as a personal challenge, frankly.
Do you really?
I cannot stop until I get that USB to go in. And then I start honking my horn. I did it.
Why not just wait until you get to the next light and then stick your head in there and then plug it in?
Because,
patience,
because then I'll be the guy who's still trying to do that while the light turns green and everybody behind. You have a responsibility, my friend, when you're first in line to
That's
be
true.
Right off the mark when that light turns green.
And if not, the people true. Behind you will let you know.
Oh, yes, of course.
This might be more frustrating, but there is a new USB coming. It's called the Type-C USB, and it's going to be the new standards. It's going to be Type-C. It's going to be a little bit smaller. It will be universal both up and down, but get ready for all the ports to change eventually.
And all those smarty pants Apple people are going to say, it's a C USB.
Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Although, what is they called? The Geek Squad?
Yeah, wait till Jeremy gets here on Thursday.
Oh, did you see the guy who's a former Apple employee who's auctioning off his old Apple Genius shirt and name tag?
No.
He's auctioning it off for charity. He's got around $2,200 for it right now. His name?
Samsung.
Right.
We did that story, actually.
You must have been on vacation when we did
that. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a good one, though.
You know,
late to the
had
party.
You come to rehearsal.
Yeah.
No, we didn't talk about that. Of course we didn't. How would we know you were going to bring that up? All right, coming up next here on the program, let's see. Oh, guys will go to the ends of the earth, some of them, to get out of their wedding, to not have to go to the altar and say, I do. Some guys will do whatever it takes, and you will not believe what this guy did, and apparently he got away with it. And that's next here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The Friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3 at Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is in transit, driving down the coast of California. She'll be back tomorrow. And Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin are here. Just want to remind you that this week we have some doings.
Some what?
Some doings. We will be live from the patio of the Portsacall restaurant, better known as Portsacall. One more time.
Waterfront Dining.
Waterfront Dining. It's so elegant.
We only hear that commercial 3 times a day.
They have a patio overlooking the harbor, and we're going to be outdoors, and you are invited to join us. This is to celebrate the Tall Ships Week here at the L.A. Harbor. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week, you'll come out. You could be here with us. There will be drinks and food and wonderful prizes, including some dinner cruise tickets.
No way.
Yeah.
Those are spendy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. You get on the one of those boats at night, you get a nice dinner served, and you're out there on the deck with your drinks looking at the harbor.
It's romantic.
Those
boats are no joke either. They are beautiful, man.
Oh, yeah.
So Tall Ships, that means we get served tall drinks, correct?
Well, that's the hope, I think.
All right.
Get served by pirates
All right,
and wenches.
I'm in.
I'm in.
All right, now you know, you get enough of those tall drinks in you, you might get convinced to propose to the lovely lady. But then you might have some second thoughts about it, like this guy did, Jay.
Oh, the couple met in Connecticut a couple years ago. They were both going to college out there, right? And they fell in love, and they're going to conquer the world. One problem, she lives in the UK, he lives here in the United States. So they're going to, but modern technology and FaceTime and the internet, you can keep in contact. Well, the guy flew out there a couple times. She flew back out here over the past couple of years. And she says that he showered her with love. Fancy dinners, like the dinner cruise.
Oh, yeah.
Jewelry.
Not like the dinner cruise.
Yeah, right. And then finally proposed to her. Said, I want you to be the woman that I want to spend the rest of my life with. Please, will you marry me? She says yes. But then she had to fly back home to the UK to take care of business. Okay. So as they're taking care of business, he starts making wedding plans. She buys the wedding dress. Everything is going according to plan, right?
Yep.
Until she got a call from the guy's buddy.
Uh-oh.
Evidently, the buddy told her that he had been depressed. He wanted to die, so he threw himself in front of a car, and he died. He killed himself.
No, that's awful.
The woman freaks. She's shattered. Her world is now over. She's just crushed. So she calls the guy's mom to console. The guy's mom says, he's sitting right here.
Busted.
He's sitting right here. He just told me that you guys broke up. I don't understand.
Yeah. Oh.
Evidently, the guys apologized to her, sent her a check for $1,200 to cover some of the wedding expenses, some of the dress expenses or whatever. She wants nothing to do with him. She says she'll never forgive him for breaking up her dream marriage.
Nor should she. I mean, who thinks that they're going to get away with that one?
I know. I just think it's funny.
She's not going to look into it.
Well, just think of the money he had to spend to either fly out to England or fly her out to the United States. He's probably thinking, wow, this is expensive.
Well, then you fly her out one last time and you get married.
Right.
How about that pitch to his friend, too, where he's like, look, I got an idea of how I can get out of this.
Yeah. These days, you could just stow away.
Here's what I need you to do.
Oh, my gosh.
I love it.
All right. Well, while we're talking about plane flights, there's a kid that has a rather, well, unusual place in aviation history, and he's a survivor for sure, isn't he?
He does. Yeah, he is, actually, and his name's Austin Hatch. He's a freshman at Michigan State, and he's playing basketball over there. He's actually living out his dream playing basketball there. And he's a guy that's been in two plane crashes, Phil. Which is pretty amazing. I mean, the chances of having one is nominal at best. But
tragedy, though, in both cases.
Tragedy in both cases. So he had his first plane crash in 2003. That took the life of his mother, his 11-year-old sister, and his 5-year-old brother. Him and his dad survived this crash. And then in 2011, just 3 years ago, he was in another plane crash in a single-engine plane that went down over rural Michigan. And this crash took his father and his stepmother, leaving him critically injured again. And
so now he's at what school?
He's over at Michigan State. Yeah, he's a freshman on the Michigan State basketball team. He played his first game on Sunday. He got in there for a few minutes. He didn't get a shot off, but his coaches said he's just not selfish. You know, he could have jacked up a shot in the time that he was in there, but he chose not to just because it wasn't the right time to do it. But
solid player.
Solid player, unselfish, and probably has a good head on his shoulders. You'd have to overcome this kind of tragedy.
You got to wonder, okay, is it inappropriate to ask this question? I guess I won't know until I ask the question. If the team, the University of Michigan, has to fly to another state to take on another division or conference team.
Yeah, you put Austin on the bus.
Yeah, that's the question I was going to ask. What are the other players thinking? Do we want him on our plane?
Well, it probably goes through their head.
Doesn't it?
No, you don't. You do not.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of sports guys are basket cases to start with superstitions and all this sort of thing, right? Well, that's a scary thought right there. Well, I'm glad he's living out his dream, and I hope everything works out for him. That's for sure. We know that a flock of seagulls or birds, right? There are flocks of birds.
Sure.
There are schools of fish. There are herds of what?
Cows.
All right.
Yeah. Buffalo.
Horses.
Right. What do you call a group of parrots? You know, like polywanacracker parrots?
I call them annoying, personally,
because
they live in my neighborhood.
I'm tired of it. And they're getting worse in a lot of parts of town, aren't they?
A colony.
A colony of parrots. Well, that's a good guess. But I think if you think about what they cause when they get together, this makes a lot of sense. A group of parrots, and this is according to a website called Parrot Parrot. Apparently they focus on parrots.
Mm-hmm.
A group of parrots is called a pandemonium.
Oh. That's what it sounds like.
Funny.
There, see, now you know.
I learned something today.
Yeah, when
you say in the
cocktail
morning.
Party, break the ice with that one. You're good to go.
Excuse me, ladies.
Yeah.
What's going on out there? Sounds like pandemonium.
Yes, exactly. All right. And you know what? We talked about what one guy, Jay, would do to stay off of the altar. But there's a lady that you know about that do just about anything to see her boyfriend.
That is very true. Woman out in, I believe it's Texas. Let me see here. I'm pulling this up right now. I was correct, of course, because all the great stories come out of Texas.
Yeah.
Woman is so in love and so desperate to see her boyfriend, who is in jail, by the way. She decides to steal a $4 bottle of wine to get herself thrown in jail so she can see her boyfriend in the other holding cell across the hallway.
Now that's romantic.
That's love.
This is. It is, it is. Hey, despite news that the employment picture is improving, millions of Americans are looking for work, whether they're jobless, underemployed, or just plain unhappy in their current job. And up next, we're going to work on your outdated, and in many cases, unacceptable by today's standards, talking about your resume. Got to fix that up right for you, right here, next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. If you miss any portion of this episode or any other one of our programs, every single one is available for you on demand to download, to stream, to share at philhewlettandfriends.com right there on the homepage. Your resume, well, all right, let's face it, it's pretty good. But is it what employers are looking for these days? Joining us live now is the founder and CEO of Career Resume Consulting, Tammy Cabell. Hey, Tammy, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Fantastic. We have your website linked on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com.
Great.
And isn't a resume more or less the same thing as a resume was 5 or 10 years ago?
You know, I wish I could tell you that it was. For 98% of the people out there looking for a professional position, it still is. I've found a lot of success with a one-page skills-based or functional resume that's different than everybody else's. But really, it's not so much the resume. It's really the techniques that most people use that are making them hit their heads against the wall. What? Doing the same thing over and over again, and they're expecting different results.
So let's see. You put the objective line at the top, and, and then the education, and then the skills, and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, well, what are the employers actually looking for anyway? Or do they even care if you put the objective line on there?
I would say that the objective line is absolutely passe. You do not want to say, I'd like the opportunity to use my skill set in blah, blah, blah to help further the blah, blah, blah. That really doesn't achieve anything.
That should be more like a cover letter issue, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I am a big proponent of not using cover letters because most surveys say that a large majority, anywhere from 63 to 85% of employers and recruiters don't even look at the cover letter. So why spend 2 or 3 hours putting one together?
Yeah, but what if there's like a $100 bill stapled to it? Will they look at it?
Maybe, but that gets to be a really expensive search.
All right, so back to the resume then. So you're talking about what, bullet points of achievements? Is that what we're looking for?
Well, I do recommend putting as many achievements as you can quantify, and that's really the key, is being able to quantify your results. And that's the hardest thing for people to do. How do you put numbers to what you've achieved?
Stuffed 1,000 reams of paper into 2,000 envelopes.
Well, you have to decide, are you good at saving a company money or making a company money? And once you figure that out, you go in that direction. And you put everything down that you've saved or everything down that you've made a company to show that you're an investment. You're really positioning yourself in a marketing campaign as an investment rather than just just participating in the job search process and trying to be a candidate.
So you have to look at yourself carefully and say, all right, what value do I bring to the table? Is that accurate?
Exactly. Exactly. What can I do for your bottom line as an employer? And that's what you've got to have in that summary statement at the top of your resume. I like to consider it a summary statement rather than an objective statement, because what you're doing is summarizing exactly what you can do for their bottom line that nobody else can do.
See, and that's a different way of thinking for a lot of people who, you know, go to work in the morning, they punch in, they put in a semi-honest day's work, and then they punch out again, and they think in terms of it being a job as opposed to being a partner in the success with the owner of the company. And
wow,
is that,
that's a right? great way to put it.
Well, that's what we need to do to really make the eyes pop of the person who's looking for the person to hire, right?
Well, the best way to think of yourself is as a job seeker is as an investment and as a product, and you market yourself like you would a product. And you basically try to get the employer's attention by getting that first phone call. And then once you get the phone call, then you use sales psychology to work your way around the bases until you get that offer, and then you negotiate a great, you know, compensation for you that still works for the employer.
Sales psychology. Now you're talking about a skill set that not a lot of people have.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, what do you do?
What I've built my whole career in the career business on is taking everything that salespeople use in selling a product or service and everything that marketers use in marketing a product or service and using that in job seeking.
Well, people will say to you, well, Tammy, if I'm going to learn all these sales skills, why don't I just go to work in sales?
Yeah. It's actually a skill set that is greatly needed when you look for jobs. And once you learn that skill set, it's something that is invaluable and allows you to move up. Whether you want to move up in a career or actually start your own business someday, it's something that everybody really needs if they want to earn more money and really be paid what they're worth.
Yeah. So what do? You just read that book, How to Make Friends and Influence People?
That's a good start.
Is it?
Start.
Dale Carnegie?
Yeah. That's a good start. You know, I always recommend, instead of reading career books, which are usually outdated by the time they get published because the job market just changes so quickly these days, that I recommend using tried-and-true sales practices, even if you're not a salesperson. Tried-and-true marketing practices to build your resume and use persuasive language instead of just academic language like everybody else does.
Now, isn't it true that when you see a job posting somewhere, that the chances are pretty good that job's already filled and the employer is just filling some kind of local or federal government responsibility?
That does happen. Yeah, it happens pretty frequently. But you also have to understand that the reason that you're not getting the response that you expect, even though you think you're perfect for the position, is it could be that. But it also is the fact that, on average, employers and recruiters are still getting 600 to 1,000 resumes for every position that's posted.
So why send a resume then?
Exactly.
I mean, isn't there a better way to do this?
Yes. So what?
Singing telegram.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know if telegrams exist anymore, but you could put a lot of stuff.
Singing nepotism.
Yes. Getting to know people, yeah. Getting to know people, doing some networking, having a great, robust online presence certainly helps, including a great LinkedIn presence.
Yeah.
But the number one way that I've found to get an employer's attention, and this is really different, but it's old school. It's printing out your resume, putting a short handwritten note on the side of it, and sending it U.S. mail in a different kind of envelope, something that's different than your regular, you know, 9x3 business.
Yeah,
envelope.
See, and that's smart, because if you just deliver it to HR,
yeah,
it's going in that file with the 5,999 other resumes.
They scan it, and they put it into their database, and you're never going to hear from them again.
Yeah.
And the best way to find the person that would be your boss, the person you should actually send it to, is in LinkedIn.
Yeah.
LinkedIn's a great database. But you can also just do a great Google search. If you just look for the name of the person or the job title of the person that would be your boss. Let's say, for instance, if you were in sales, you're looking for a sales manager or you're looking for a sales director.
Right. And learn yourself up on that company's business, figure out what their earnings were, figure out what their specialty is, what they're good at, what they need to be better at, and maybe you can help.
And I'm going to give you a secret. I'm going to tell you not to do any research on the company, with the exception of what their address is and who to send it to.
Why is that?
Until they give you a call. And then, this is really something that nobody else does, but what you do is you don't spend your time on the front end doing research when you don't know if they're going to call you. And so,
waste of time.
A bunch out. And then, when they call, say, oh, I'm so glad you called. And Clay, I would love to talk with you, but right now I'm in the middle of something, and I'd love to give you my full attention. Can we talk tomorrow at noon or possibly tomorrow at the end of the day?
Hey, little sales technique. I recognize
yes.
that.
Yes, and it's always worked. It's never backfired. And then what you do is you research the heck out of the company in the 24 hours that you have, and then you're completely prepared. And it's like they were the only one that you sent this to, when actually you can, in 20 or 25 hours a week, you can get out 40 to 50 resumes a week. So you can really make a big impact into your geographic market, into the companies that you would want to work for.
Well, look at you. You're getting us all hired.
I know.
You're going to put yourself out of business, young lady.
Well, no. There will always be needs for my services and other people's services. I do more than resume writing. I help people find jobs.
Yeah.
And most of my clients will get something within 10 to 12 weeks, but it's not easy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of research.
And a lot of work.
Yeah.
And all the jobs are on the online job boards, right?
You know, 4 to 5% of all the jobs are on the online job boards, and yet 92% of people use the job boards as their exclusive form of looking for a job.
My goodness.
So you've got a tiny fish pond stocked with just a few fish, and you've got literally 35 million people putting their resumes into that tiny little fish pond when, you know, over here there's a lake stocked with a lot of fish and nobody's going after it.
You got to swim upstream while everybody's going downstream. That's how it works. Well, we have your
technique.
We have your website linked. It is careerresumeconsulting.com, is it not?
Yes.
And that's on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com if you miss it. It's been eye-opening and useful, Tammy Cabell. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It was great talking to you. I appreciate it.
Same. Look, you're selling me again. All right, get out of here.
All
thanks.
Right.
All right, there she goes. Better than a good resume. Tammy Cabell. Sounded good, huh? What
so make sure you put your resume on a pink, sparkly piece of paper and then mail it U.S. mail. That's what I got out
no,
of it.
No. The envelope's got to be unique. The resume should be on professional paper. And you just put a handwritten note on there.
Without the objective.
That says, I have pictures of you with, what's her name?
Yeah. I need job now.
Me hire now.
Yeah, exactly.
Just break it down. Why not? All right. These guys tried this last year. And it really went well. And up next, year two of a pretty creative way to raise money for a local elementary school, and you benefit as well. You're going to want to hear this next on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the L.A. Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3 at Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. This is an important segment. It's a because it's a common problem at schools these days. Education budgets and the cuts in those budgets make it so schools don't have basic supplies to adequately teach the children. Notebooks, crayons, pencils, and such. And in most cases, the teachers spend their own money to fill the gap left by the school district's strapped budget. And for the second year in a row, Marina Del Rey Toyota has teamed up with the with Beethoven Street Elementary School's PTA fundraising organization to collect critically needed school supplies and to gather donations for costs associated with the school, the teacher's assistants, before and after school programs, all of this sort of thing. And it's something that I think other schools should pay attention to and perhaps work with the local community and find a partner to make this happen. Here to tell us more about this effort is the general manager of Marina Del Rey Toyota, Kevin Ray. Hey, Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great. All right. Marina Del Rey, that's kind of an upscale community, isn't it? You wouldn't expect a school to be hurting.
Well, yeah, it's kind of shocking, just even our local schools just right next door. You're thinking that it shouldn't happen in that area, but I think it's in all areas. It doesn't matter. And after doing the last year's event and not realizing that how much the schools really need the funds and different supplies and talking to some of the teachers, didn't realize that, you know, the cuts are getting cut, like the PE classes, the after-school projects, and different things like that are the ones that are getting affected the most. So we thought we'd hook up with one of the schools last year and try to, you know, raise some money so that these can continue on and they wouldn't have to cut them. But they start the beginning of each school year already in the hole. They're before they even get started with funds. So
yeah.
That makes it tough for them.
This fundraiser is called Car Wash for Crayons. Why don't you describe it for us?
Well, basically what you can do is just trying to give something back. If somebody can come in, they can come into our store, the Marina Del Rey Toyota. If they come in, they give us some supplies. Just something that could be simple, just pencils and crayons, papers, stuff that the schools need, anything that the kids could use. We'll wash the car for them. We'll wash the car if they give us some donations for the schools, the local schools. And we do that all the way through September 9th. We're actually going to have the kids come over to the store again next year on September 4th. September 4th, and have them all come to the store and take a tour again.
And so... I don't necessarily have to fill up my trunk and my back seat with supplies. You're not going to look at me crooked if I bring a box of pencils, are you?
No, that'd be great. That's enough. We're just asking for everyone just to, you know, participate a little bit, and that's why we're going to wash your car.
And a free car wash. Nobody's going to jump in and try to sell me a car or anything like that.
No. Just come and see me, and if you want to look at a car, we'll do that. But, yeah, we'll just get your car washed for you.
Yeah, talk about the success you had last year. What'd you?
Yeah, it was a great time. Just like I was saying, when they did come to the school, we had like 56 kids come from Beethoven Elementary School. And just to see them there, you know, their faces and the excitement that they had, you know, taking a tour through the store and the dealership and how it worked. We got to see how, you know, the cars are worked on in the service. We showed them how, you know, cars are dropped off and how we prep them before we sell them. Just kind of showed them the whole process of how it works at the dealership there for us.
Hey, it's your own farm system there. You know, you're going to have some service mechanics and some salespeople coming out of that elementary school someday. You never know. So did you quantify it? Was it, in pounds or in dollar value or anything like that?
Well, we participate, us and Toyota Motor Credit, we motor sales, we donate $5,000. And then whatever else we can raise, you know, beyond that, definitely goes to the school and helps out. So
yeah,
we did raise over $5,000. A lot of supplies came in, and that's why we wanted to build on it again. So we're doing more things. The campaign it this year. We're getting more involved with some of the local communities. And
did you set some goals too?
Do we have some goals?
Yeah.
We just tried as much as we can.
All right. That's good. Hey, is there an online element to this as well?
That, what you can do is if you want to donate, you can go to our website, marinadelraytoyota.com. We have a Fundly account set up if that's what you wanted to do is donate some funds. Or you can just stop by, see me, and, you know, we can take that any supplies that you want to give us.
Yeah, sounds easy. In fact, we put a link to your Fundly on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. How long does this effort last?
We're going to go until September 9th of this year. And then, but September 4th, we're having the kids come back to see the store. And that's when we'll hand them their check, and hopefully we can hand them some more as time goes on.
So you teach the kids some of those car salesman tactics that you do?
Get them started. We need some future employees.
Right. Yeah, good idea. Car wash for crayons.
You're amazed on the questions they ask. They're pretty smart.
We love it. We love the idea, and good luck to Beethoven Street Elementary School. Yep. And thanks so much, Kevin Ray. He's the GM of Marina Del Rey Toyota. And again, check the link for the online donation. And for more information, go to his website as well. How about that? It's a good idea, isn't it?
Who washes the cars? Is it the employees over there at Toyota, or do they bring a group of kids over also to help?
No, they've got the car wash set up.
You want that box of crayons?
Let's go get to work.
No, look, I want a real car wash. I don't want a kid car wash. I could go to the corner, you know, when they're waving those poorly designed cardboard signs out there
right.
and screaming for no apparent reason. And then they throw a bucket on there, and then they squeegee you off, and you're good to go. No, that's not a car wash. These guys send you through one of those machines. Car wash machines, newfangled stuff.
Right. Yeah, well, they need those so they can wash off the old cars they take in on a daily basis as trade-ins.
Exactly. It's not like you've worked at a car dealer. Have you worked at a
car dealer? I've been through a couple of them, though, and I've spent my time in sales, not car sales.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Now I know how you got on this show.
He definitely sold you a bill of goods.
Saying it wasn't my resume?
Well, no, it was some sort of bull, which is the topic of this story.
Bulls, yeah. A couple of years ago, the mayor of Bogota, Colombia, suspended bullfighting, Phil.
Oh.
No more. No more blood sport, he said. So now the Matadors, they're pressing for reinstatement. So for the last 2 weeks, they've been on a hunger strike.
Matadors on a hunger strike?
Matadors on a hunger strike.
What do Matadors eat?
I would imagine, I don't know if they eat bull, but that seems like the easy association. Watch they be vegetarians.
Oh.
They're on a liquid diet only right now. One guy was already hospitalized this week. Many of them are looking very weak. And then there's another guy. He's down 13 pounds, so they're not doing real well.
God.
But they say that none of this is going to distract them from their hunger strike. They will stay on it until they can get back to their gig, which earns them about $330 per fight.
Yeah. A good band name. You can get band names out of anything.
$330 per fight?
No. Vegan Matadors.
Oh, good one.
Is that a good name for a band? Yeah. Would you go see them?
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
If they had good music.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the other funny thing is that there's only a few countries left that even have bullfighting anymore. I guess the whole thing's becoming real passe. Spain, they're the most popular one. They won't even televise it anymore.
It's going to go away.
Yeah.
There won't be, except in some of the communities where they have, I don't know what they call it, the faux bullfighting. It's not real.
Yeah, it's actually called, it's called bloodless bullfighting.
Yeah.
In Portugal, they do that. It's very popular.
And there's a Portuguese bloodless bullfighting ring, I believe, in the city of Artesia.
What do? You just have like a Nerf stabbing device for the bull?
And they put those little Nerf balls on the tips of the horns, right?
No. Interesting.
No, they can't. Somebody would die.
Yeah.
That wouldn't work. Well, this guy, he's got an interesting choice in fashion, Jay.
He is a class act. Okay, guy in Maine gets arrested. He gets busted for DUI. This is about a year ago. He's 19 years old, by the way. So he gets busted when he's 18, DUI, and, went through the whole process, and now he's out. He's out of jail. He's done his legal fees, done his time, and he decided to take his mugshot, and he put it on his T-shirt. Okay, so he's walking around this festival out in Maine, and he gets busted again this past weekend for disorderly conduct. So now his mugshot from this past weekend has him wearing a shirt of his last mugshot.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Hey, we love your comments. Email us feedback@philhewlettandfriends.com. At Twitter, we're at As We See It Show. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Capadonia, Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends. Hi, it's Phil Hewlett. The friends and I want to thank you for making this program your favorite show on KFWB. And to reward you, we have an outing planned. Join us this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at Portsacall Waterfront Dining from noon to 3. Enjoy food and drink specials and raffle prizes, including tickets to a romantic dinner cruise on the LA Harbor. We'll broadcast our show from the waterfront patio, and you'll be our live audience. That's this Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, noon to 3 at Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For more info, visit philhewlettandfriends.com. Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.